Take your Bibles and turn this morning again to the sixth chapter of Matthew. Initially, I thought, well, I'll just jump over this one phrase. I pretty much preached a lot of sermons from the Lord's Prayer and thought, well, I'll just skip this one. And the Lord convicted me, and I realized that it's the one thing that's probably missing from most of our prayers. And so I need to speak on this part of the Lord's Prayer, because I venture to say that you have forgotten your vulnerability to the devices and the deceptiveness of the devil. Sometimes we think that we get complacent. There's a melancholy that sets in, and people fail to remember that the devil is out to get us. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. The angel said, "Woe unto you, the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil..." No, wait a minute. "Woe unto you, the inhabitants of the earth, and sea, for the devil has come down unto you." The devil wants to destroy us. He wants your mind, he wants your soul, and he wants your body. And if we don't become aware of the devices of the devil, if we don't pray and stay close to God, our homes and our lives will be wrecked by the devil. "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you." And he knows he only has a short time, and he's seeking to destroy you. And we need to be aware as citizens of this earth, as inhabitants of the earth and the sea, that the devil is seeking to destroy us. Now, there's a lot of ways in which we are tempted. We're not only tempted of the devil, but we are tempted of our own depraved nature. We are tempted by the things of the world. What is it John said? He said, with respect to the earth, with respect to the principles of the world. What did he tell us? He said, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the world is out to deceive us and to entrap us. The devil is seeking to destroy us. We cannot even trust our own hearts. Our minds can be manipulated. Listen, it's possible for even the elect to be deceived. We get things all out of whack in our mind and in our hearts. It's out of whack in our lives and all around us. People, we have lost sight of how vulnerable we are. The vulnerability of mankind is revealed in this prayer. When we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." People, that needs to be part of our petition and part of our prayer. Now, every one of us that's been saved by the grace of God, we have experienced the forgiveness of sin. And we, after we experience the forgiveness of sin, we're also concerned about future sins. God forbid that we trample upon the grace that God has given us as children of God. So I'll read this prayer again. Like I said, I believe this part of the prayer is the part that's most missing out of the lives of most Christians. Listen, if you ever get it in your mind that you can live the Christian life on your own, you will be destroyed and you are deceived. We need God's help. Hello? We need His aid. We are vulnerable. David said in the book of Psalms, "Lord, teach me, O Lord, to know that I am frail." This puffed up, prideful attitude that most churches have had over the last 50 years has brought them to the point of not only despair, but has brought them to the brink of destruction. doesn't keep the city and the house. We labor in vain that build it, and the watchman watcheth in vain. We need God to protect us, to protect His church, to protect victory. I hope that you've been on your knees and you've asked God to providentially oversee and govern our church where we don't fall to the despair and the destruction of the devil. Too many people think that they can handle it, they can control it, they're above that kind of situation. They think they've got doctrinal truth and they're safe. Listen, we need more than just doctrinal truth. We need the protection of God. Our teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been instructing us on how we need to pray. And it's in contrast to the unacceptable praying, to the inadequate praying, to the substandard praying that was going on in His day. And I venture to say there's a lot of substandard, inadequate, unacceptable praying done by the people of God today. This disciple's prayer, the kingdom prayer, I believe it's the prayer of church people. It's the prayer of the children of God. And He said this, verse 9 of the 6th chapter in Matthew. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. You might recall that's the paternity of God. We are the children of God. We have become the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. By exercising faith in Jesus, we become part of the family of God. We no longer are part of the children of the devil, but we become the children of God. And we can approach Him as Father. I'm thankful I have a Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That is our priority. To hallow the name of God. It's not about me. It's not about mine. It's not about I. It's about Thine kingdom. That is the program. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's God's purpose. His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We looked at that closely, how that God provides our needs. Actually, the word bread does not just simply mean a morsel of bread, but it is the provisions of life. How God takes care of us. We need to pray for God to provide our needs. And actually, it's more than just a morsel of bread. It is a way of life in which He designs for His children. Forgive us our debts. That's God's pardon. God pardons us from our sins. Aren't you thankful for the cancellation of sin? Are you thankful this morning that God's power is able to blot out your transgressions by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Now, after that we experience pardon, we need to realize that we are prone to fall into temptation. And so He says in this verse, not only are we to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, but we are to pray unto the Lord that we be not led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom. Everybody say this last part. The reason I want you to say it, I tweeted this week that, this is left out of most translations. It ends with the evil one. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a small kid, I learned in Sunday school that when you conclude your prayer, okay, you need to conclude it in the name of Jesus. Man, that was basic Sunday school stuff. You know? And I tweeted this week, most translations have left out closing the Lord's Prayer on the Lord, and they close it on the name of the devil. Keep us from the evil one. Now, for me, that's stupid. And I put in there as I tweeted, thank God for the King James. All right. For thine, say this last, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. So we're moving through the variety of different needs that we have. We looked at the physical needs with respect to bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We looked at also the spiritual needs, the sin that is a problem. It separates us from God, and we need to deal with the sin issues. And as we come into the presence of a holy God, that's one of the first things you'll be convicted of is your sins. If you get into the presence of a holy God, you will be convicted of sin. I even believe that when you get in the presence of the true gospel, which is the holy gospel, when you get in the presence of God's people that are holy people, when you get in the presence of the Holy Ghost, you'll be convicted of sin. You'll be exposed before God, and you'll be open before God, and when the word of God is preached, because it's sharp, amen? It pierces to the dividings under the soul and spirit, to the very joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, to the point to where you're open and you're exposed before a holy God, and you realize that you're before Him lost and undone, and you need to deal with the sin issue. And my friend, there's only one way. Everybody say one way. One way to deal with the sin issue, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you've never had a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've never repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, you are still in sin. You owe God a debt. Actually, you owe God a consequence for every transgression, for every iniquity, for every evil thought, for every wrong action. You owe God a consequence for that. And if Jesus doesn't take your place, the consequences will be an eternal hell. You'll be cast into the abyss with the dragon, the false prophet, and the devil. One thing this prayer does reveal, once we pray concerning the physical and the spiritual, we're conscious and we're concerned about the moral. The moral. We're concerned about future sins. I mean, we know how vulnerable we are to sin. And a true child of God is troubled over the exposure to temptation. It concerns us. We're aware of it. I was reading this past week about a minister who spoke of his ministry after spending 40 years as a Christian, devoting his life to 30 years of ministry, devoted to the church and to God's people, trying to live a moral life, a holy life, a spiritual life. And he said, in 1 hour, I could wreck everything that I've ever done in my ministry and in my Christian walk in 1 hour. Amen? He was conscious of the temptations of the future and his need for deliverance, his need for God's help, his need for the instruments by which God supports us and helps us and shelters us from damage. Let me say this, young people, you can do one sin in your youth and you'll deal with it the rest of your life. One sin. You young men, listen to me. I'm just going to tell you how it is. You can have an issue to come up in your life where your marriage is wrecked or your life is wrecked, and it exempts you from being a deacon in the Lord's church. It exempts you from being a minister of the gospel and pastoring one of His churches. Because the stipulations of the qualifications for a deacon and a pastor is that he have one of the best home lives at church. That's just a biblical qualification. I didn't make the qualifications. They're in the Word of God. The thing is, you can do something in your youth and you can spend the rest of your life dealing with it. Or you can do something at an old age and it'll wreck everything that you've done. This prayer is a prayer for God's protection. Now I know sometimes as we look at the word lead, we get the idea that God leads, you know, us into temptation. What that's meaning actually is God providentially governing our lives. Look in James just for a moment. Let me remind you of something. James chapter 1. He said, let no man, verse 13, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. Amen. He does not tempt us to sin. But listen, there are things, there are pressures of life that make us vulnerable. There are circumstances and situations that develop in our life that expose us to a greater degree of vulnerability. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I remember in the early part of my ministry, one of the first situations that developed when I was still a teenager, I believe I was 19 years old, maybe 20, I went to the funeral home. One of the strongest sisters in the churches in Indianapolis, her son had committed suicide. I never forget when going to the funeral home, and when I walked in, you could still hear her in the background groaning, "Why God? Why God? Why God?" I tell you, people weren't chatting and having fellowship at that funeral home. Oh, they could hear with the shrieks of that dear saint of God crying out unto God, "Why? Why? Why?" I remember the second incident in my early ministry when a man I worked with, my supervisor, lost two of his grandchildren at the age of 8. They were twins, and one of them was drowned. The other one went in to save it, and they both drowned. Listen, you need God governing providentially the circumstances of your life, because there are things that can happen to you that will just almost shatter your faith. Amen. Now I know some of you think you're bad and you're tough and you've got a strong faith, but I'm not sure I can endure what Job went through. I'm not sure I can endure what Joseph went through. Come on, let's be honest. I want to say that I'm a man of strong faith. But if the full forces of the devil were up against me, I don't know. I need God's help. I do know this. I would buckle in a heartbeat if it wasn't for the grace of God. Let no man say, when I am tempted, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And enticed. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. Death. Are you troubled about being exposed to temptation? There are circumstances, situations of life that put us in a vulnerable condition. I'm thankful that God governs my life. I believe in His providential control over my life. I believe the psalmist has said in the 37th Psalm, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His ways. We not only need forgiveness, we need more than that. We need preservation. We need God protecting us, and helping us, and keeping us strong. Or we'll falter, we'll fail. And the devil had his way with us. We need deliverance from future temptations of sin. We need forgiveness when we sin, and we need deliverance that we don't sin. I believe there are churches that have got to the place to where they are so full of pride, they think they haven't sinned against the Lord. The Lord has spoken to them over and over again by the pastors that were sending to them, but they didn't listen like many of the churches of the seven churches of Asia, and they've been told that they have sinned against the Lord, but they refuse to repent because they don't think they have the capacity nor vulnerability to sin. But they're wrong. God is right. I'll tell you what would help us have revival is for the people of God to repent. Amen. All of us are vulnerable to sin. The old people, the young people, the rich people, the poor people, females, males. We're all prone to sin. Ministers, deacons. Amen? Yeah. It should be part of our prayer life. Lord, keep us from temptations. Keep us from evil. Keep us from being exposed to evil. Keep us from falling. Keep us from failing. Listen, the tempter is out there, and he is a slanderer, and he is a deceiver, and he will manipulate our minds. He'll manipulate circumstances in our life. He'll manipulate our emotions. Listen, we need to be aware of the power of temptations and be afraid of them. I'll tell you this. If you go through the Bible teaches us to be afraid of temptation. It teaches us to flee fornication. The Bible says, abstain from all appearances of evil. I'll tell you how concerned the Bible is about temptation. I didn't know if I was going to go here, but I think I will. I've done it on Wednesday nights. It's the Word of God. You read in the 7th chapter of Corinthians, and there it talks about intimacy between a husband and a wife. And it tells those husbands and wives not to deprive one another, lest they be tempted to commit fornication, except it be for prayer and fasting. A headache excuse is not biblical. Why does the Bible go to such lengths, to such an extent, to go into even the bedroom of a husband and wife because of the temptation to sin? Now, the Bible's fully aware of it. It's about time God's people become aware of it. Amen. All right, I had 3 points I was going to make. I may not get to all 3 of them. The vulnerability of men. The variety of means. I think I've dealt with that a little bit. There's a variety of means by which we are tempted to sin. There's broad means. There's physical impairment, affliction, there's suffering. For instance, let me show you where the word temptation is used with respect to some kind of physical ailment. Let's look at Paul for an instance. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Galatians, verse 4. Paul was talking about some kind of physical impairment that he had. And the people of Galatian, they were willing to even pluck out their own eyes to help him. A lot of people believe that Paul had poor eyesight. But he said in verse 14, I believe it is, in the 4th chapter of Galatians, he said, "And my temptation, which was in the flesh." Now he was talking about his infirmity. And the same Greek word is here used, like used in the Lord's Prayer, "my temptation." He's talking about his infirmity in the flesh. And the context explains that. He says, "My temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as the angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Also in like Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, there again the word temptation is used with respect to the suffering that Christ went through on the cross to secure our eternal life and secure our forgiveness. And so sometimes the word temptation has a broad meaning. Sometimes it can mean an affliction. It can mean suffering. So it can cover a lot of different pressures of life. Listen, we need to ask God to protect us from the pressures of life. Sometimes we pray, "Lord," like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, "if it be thy will, take this cup from me." Let this cup pass from me. A trial, a trouble, a problem. Or deliver me from the potential evil of it. I think we need to pray that the Lord will deliver us from the potential evil of every trial that we go through. That's another definition. Because what was it that James said? Count it all joy when you go through trials. Rejoice. What was he talking about? He's talking about the testing of our faith that works patience or works some good to the honor and glory of God. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8, I dealt with this or used this passage, I think, when we talked about the prayer concerning the Lord giving us our daily bread. How that the Bible teaches us this: remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Here's the point. You don't know what you can handle. The circumstances of poverty or the circumstances of riches, either one could mess you up. And so the pressures of life or the circumstances of life can put us in greater degrees of vulnerability to temptation and sin. And so the prayer was, feed me with food that's convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, or lest I say, who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord in vain. And so the proverb, I pray that kind of prayer. Lord, give me just what's right for me. Give me what I can handle. Lead or providentially govern or control my life or the circumstances of my life where that I'm not exposed to too much temptation to the point to where I succumb to the sin and succumb to evil. Circumstances. You know what this prayer, what this phrase actually implies? It implies that we don't trust ourselves. We need help. One of the biggest problems we have today in the Christian faith is that people think they can handle the devil. It reminds me of those guys, when Paul was able to cast out devils. He was an apostle. He had divine inspiration. He went to one place and there was a bunch of guys and they thought they could do the same thing, and that's in the book of Acts. I don't remember where it's at now, but they thought they could do like Paul, and they tried to cast out devils in the name of Paul, and those demons came out and said, "We know Paul, we know Jesus, but we don't know you." Tore the clothes off of them and beat them up and threw them out of the synagogue. And people, that's happening to us. If you go toe to toe with the devil, you will lose. You need help. We live in a dangerous world, under dangerous circumstances, under dangerous temptations, and we need God's help preserving us. We need His protection, His deliverance. We are in danger. I tell you what, once if we ever think that we can handle it, we're really in great danger. So there's a vulnerability to all men. There's a variety of different meanings with respect to temptation. It can also include circumstances. It can include physical ailment. It can include sufferings that you go through. It can include poverty, riches. It could be your job, your boss, your marriage, your children. It can just include, it can include every area of your life that will produce weakness in your spiritual life. To where you succumb to do something that is not of God, but is of the devil. Listen, people, we need to stay on the Lord's side. I don't want to help the devil at all in anything that he does. So, situations that expose us to the influence of the devil are also included in this prayer. It's not just the pleasure of sin that concerns me. But changing situations in my life also concern me. Do they concern you? Huh? How much do you think you could handle before you succumb to Job's wife's invitation to just curse God and die? I don't know about you, but I'd be careful. I have to put a watch over my eyes, my ears, my mind, right? I mean, I've got to do those things. I'm trying to build up my faith shield. Remember in John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress? You know, where Apollyon, Romans chapter 8, 11, 12, 13, somewhere right in there. The beast that comes out of the bottomless pit, Abaddon in the Hebrew, Apollyon in the Greek, the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit to destroy you. Christian was under the shield of faith, shrinking down as that beast was beating on the shield. And he's underneath that shield, the only thing, the shield of faith, the only thing keeping him from being destroyed. That's why I go to church and go to Sunday school and study my Bible and pray. Try to stay close to the Lord. Tell you what, when Apollyon comes after me, I want to have a strong shield of faith. And let me tell you something, Christian. If you don't walk the walk and live the life, if you don't study the Bible and study the Scriptures like you should, you won't be ready. If you don't build up your faith with good, God-loving, God-fearing Christians around you, if you don't build up your faith, when Apollyon comes after you, you'll have a paper shield. Paper mache. He'll just rip right through that and he will obliterate you. You will be destroyed. There are dangerous, life-altering circumstances that some of you are going through right now. You know what you need to do? You need to do what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. What should we do? What was the instruction there? To take the whole armor of God. Why? Why do you need the whole armor of God? Why do you need the whole armor of God? That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need the whole armor. Now we have, you know, the Bible clearly teaches us that we have victorious means. That was my third point. We're vulnerable men. Temptation has a variety of meanings, but we have victorious means. We have a means to victory. We have the example given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when we go through blessings, many times tragedy follows. Temptation follows. I call it dove. How was it? I praised that. I wrote that down somewhere. The dove. Something about a dove. I know I had a phrase that I was going to use. Devil after the dove. That's it. The devil after the dove. Remember Jesus in the third chapter of Matthew? He was baptized on the river of Jordan. The Heavenly Father spoke out of heaven. Said, "This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased." The Holy Ghost came upon him in a form of a dove. And Mark says, immediately he was taken into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil chasing the dove. One old preacher put it this way: when God opens the windows of blessing upon your life, the devil opens the gates of hell upon your life. You better be ready, because he's chasing after the dove. If the dove lands on you, if you get a blessing from God, the devil will be chasing after you, trying to destroy you. Listen, we need to be mindful of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. What did he say about the devil? He said we need to be sober. You know what sober is? I spoke a little bit earlier about how that we can intellectually be deceived by the devil. Do you realize that you can that church people concoct things in their mind that came right out of the pits of hell? you know, the pastor, you're trying to keep unity among people, and this person frowned at that person, this person, you know, moved his eyebrow a little bit, and they get this thing going in their mind that there's some kind of problem, there's some kind of offense, there's some kind of issue, or you know, people just go ballistic mentally. You know what the devil is doing to you? He is deceiving you. He's deceiving you. And there's also emotional deception. Beware that the devil will play on your emotions. Peter said, be sober. You know what the word sober means in the Greek? Drunk, or not drunk on your emotions. He's not telling us not to go to the liquor store and drink. He's telling us that church people shouldn't be drunk on their emotions. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. We need the whole armor of God. I'm going to give you three victorious means, or the means to victory. We know we've got an enemy, he's the devil. We've got the experience with the temptation. We have the example, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he use on the devil when he was in the wilderness? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. I remember one time I read that Charles Spurgeon was asked about how do you develop deep theological understanding of the Word of God. And Charles Spurgeon said, let me give you 3 points on developing a deep theological understanding of the Word of God. Number one, read it. Number two, read it. Number three, read it. People, we need to be absorbed in the Word of God in order that we might defend ourselves when the devil launches an attack against us. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. We need the whole armor of God. And I'm not going to go over all that. Let me give you 3 things. I don't know, those of you that come on Wednesday night, the last verse of the 4th chapter that I read in your hearing, where the Messiah would provide His people a tabernacle, shelter from the sun, and shelter from the rain, a place of refuge. Listen, we have means for victory. We have the divinely inspired Word of God. You can use God's Word and the devil will flee. Yeah. Every time the devil came at Christ, he said, it is written. Now, he is our example. Amen? If when Jesus was tempted, he used the Bible to defend himself, and he is our example that when the devil comes after you, you need to use God's Word. We have the inspired Word of God. What else do we have? We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Sometimes a good spiritual song or hymn will help us fight against the temptations that come our way. Now, I know there's some of you older people don't like the newer music, but as I was sitting up here this morning and I saw those 3 little girls singing their hearts out, they're going to be facing the devil soon, and they need all the help they can get. And whatever spiritual songs or spiritual hymns they can muster in the midst of a trial or temptation, they need to use them that they might spark the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help defend them against the wiles of the devil. Now for me, It's Southern gospel. All right? Man, I tell you what, I like Southern gospel, and many times when I'm tempted, I can start singing one of those songs that I used to run up and down the road preaching the gospel, sing in the car, my whole family. You remember, Aaron? I'd have Gold City cranked so high the car next to us would hear us going down 65. Listen, our enemy is the devil. We need help. We need strength. We need spiritual help. We have that. And we need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. And we also need the intercessory of the Son of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, it tells us, we have a great high priest who is tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. He feels the infirmities of our temptation. He feels the infirmities of our temptation. He doesn't feel the infirmities of our sin. He feels the infirmities of our temptation. Listen, temptation is the call. Sin is the answer. Listen, if you answer to the call, if you respond to the temptation, the Lord, you're already too far gone. You got to get forgiveness for that. We need deliverance from the temptation to sin. I appreciate your listening to me today. I know that this is the most missing element in the prayer life of God's people. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've seen the devil wreck homes, wreck families, wreck ministries, wreck deacons, wreck children. I've seen it wreck businesses and wreck churches. I've seen the devil wreck our country. Amen. And if God doesn't put a hedge about us and protect us, He will wreck our lives. When you send your children out the door to go to public school, or you send your children out the door, period. Parents, you need to pray, Lord, Lord, keep them. Providentially govern and control their lives. Put a hedge about them. Keep them from harm. Keep them from the devil. Keep them from the evil one. Because he's out there to destroy them. And he's trying to destroy you. True Christians that are saved by the grace of God are acutely aware of the danger that lurks in the future as we continue to try to follow the Lord. God bless you, and may God keep you. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. God bless His Word. I want to invite every member of this church to, may it always be a prayer upon our lips. Lord, keep, everybody say us. Lead us. Keep us from the evil one. Keep us from the devil. Keep us from evil. When we studied the word sin, we found that you can just fall into sin, right? Just fall in it. You can be entrapped. You can just accidentally cross the line. Or you can have circumstances develop in your life where you become vulnerable and you just blatantly sin against God. Keep us from all of it. Providentially control our lives that we do not wreck them and allow them to be used for the devices of the devil.